You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
We do sermon reviews here on Issues Etc., and I think it's one of those kind of things that what my intention for it is to focus your mind. When you sit on Sunday morning in the pew, and that time when I think the devil comes tempting us most to let our minds wander from here to there, to become distracted from the preached word of God, because Paul, after all, says that it is the power of what he preaches, this gospel that he preaches, the foolishness of what he preaches, that is the wisdom of God. And so I think the devil works overtime on Sunday morning trying to get us to pay attention to something, anything, whatever, except what the preacher's actually saying. Now, once the preacher has your attention, that doesn't mean your task as a listener to a sermon is done. In fact, it's just begun. And that's why we have this three-part diagnostic when we do sermon reviews here on the program. It's kind of practice for listening to preaching on Sunday morning, and we just tell you exactly what we want you to listen for, so that when you sit down on Sunday morning and listen to your preacher preach, you're looking for the same thing. It's not only a tool for paying attention, but for looking for what the preacher ought to be saying. We talk a lot about sermons that ought to be Christ-centered and cross-focused. And if nothing else, that's what our three-part sermon diagnostic is based on and what it's there for. Now, Jesus concurs. He believes that it is repentance and the forgiveness of sins that ought to be preached in his name to the ends of the earth, to all nations. He even tells his disciples that that is precisely what he has sent the church to do. So we're listening for those things that preach Christ, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That's, by the way, Luke 24. The three-part diagnostic is very simple. It doesn't cover all the bases of good preaching, but if you don't get this and the preaching can't be good with anything else, you add to it. How often is Jesus mentioned? That's a simple first part of the diagnostic. You're just keeping track of how often you hear the preacher mention Jesus, not a generic reference to God, not a generic reference to a lot of preachers do this. I don't know why. Like he who must not be named. They'll talk about everything else than Jesus. But I'm talking about specific references to the second person of the Trinity incarnate in human flesh, Jesus himself. Keep a simple running tally of how often you hear the preacher mention Jesus. Now, if he mentions Jesus often, go on to part two of the diagnostic, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? This requires that you do some very simple grammar with the pastor's sermon. Listen to each sentence. Ask yourself, is Jesus in there? And if he is he the subject of the verbs? Remember, the subject of the verbs is that is the entity in the verb that does in the sentence that does the verbs, that does the doing, that drives the verbs. So is Jesus the subject of the verbs in your pastor's preaching? And if he's mentioned often and he is the subject of the verbs, one other thing, it's not a minor detail, it's actually very important. What are the verbs? Because, you know, a preacher can talk about Jesus and he can make Jesus the subject of the verbs, telling you about what Jesus does, but all the verbs could be wrong. This is the Jesus who inspires, the Jesus who comes to show you how to do it yourself. Those are all the wrong kind of verbs. What we're looking for are the New Testament verbs that express, as the New Testament does, what Jesus does for sinners. The Jesus who is the substitute for sinners, who takes sinners' place in suffering death and under the wrath of God. It's the Jesus who does very specific things, like lives for you, is obedient to God for you, suffers for you, bleeds for you, dies for you, rises again for you. Those are the kind of specific verbs that you're looking for in good, Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are the verbs? And if you like, at the end, you can step back and ask yourself, what problem has the preacher diagnosed in me? And what remedy did he offer in his sermon to that problem? That is my problem that I'm stressed out, too busy, don't know how to carry out my life well enough, for which he just gives you basic instructions, and that's all you need? Or is my problem my sin and ultimately my death, for which I need a sinless, dying and rising Savior like Jesus? With that in place, let's listen to this sermon preached Sunday on the baptism of Jesus by a regular guest here on Issues Etc., Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Don't give up. When you feel as if you are losing the struggle against sin in your life and the weaknesses of your flesh, don't give up. When you feel as if the church is falling apart around you, the body of Christ, in which there is supposed to be a life of mercy and compassion and self-giving love, forbearance, and patience one toward another, don't give up. When you feel that the good that you would not do, you do not do, and that which you would do, you end up not doing, don't give up in the struggle. But the don't give up that I'm telling you is don't give up on the Word of God. The baptism of our Lord this year begins with the first verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And that word made all the difference in the world. The light did not decide in advance to begin shining. The light was called forth out of darkness by the all-powerful Word of God. So when I say to you, don't give up, it's not what you think. I'm not thrusting you back upon some sort of strength within yourself, some sort of spiritual ability within yourself, some sort of pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, willpower within yourself. Rather, I'm telling you, rely upon the Word and the Word of God alone. It is the means by which all of the gifts of baptism are given to you. It is that Word of God from the Father that sustained Jesus and made him to be faithful unto death, even the death of the cross for us. And it is the Word of God through which the Spirit of God continues to be poured out on us according to God's own promise given to us in our baptism. Don't give up on the Word. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants the focus of your faith anywhere else. Your own pious acts, your own spiritual willpower, in believing that your faith is a product of your own intellect or decision, all of that is rubbish. But he'd like you to believe and trust in anything but the Word of God.
Let's take a little break here. We're reviewing the sermon preached Sunday on the baptism of Jesus by a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's preaching on Mark's version of Jesus' baptism. So far, he is actually calling us to repent from our failure to trust in God's word and to cling to God's word. When we come back, we'll hear more of this sermon. Remember our three-part diagnostic. We're listening for how often Jesus is mentioned. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And very crucial question, what are those verbs? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We'll be right back. Somebody find me a preacher.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes of the program, we're continuing our review of a sermon preached on Sunday by Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, on the baptism of Jesus. We'll be back to the sermon in just a moment. After our sermon review, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll do our series with him on Christ in the Old Testament. The Lord calls Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. The Issues, Etc. Journal is out. The latest edition of the journal is out with part two of my essay on Lord's House, Lord's Day, Lord's Supper. I honestly believe that if we were to both understand and emphasize those three aspects of Sunday morning with people who have never darkened the door of a church, they would understand more about what happens in church on Sunday morning than, sad to say, many Christians do. You can read about it in the latest Issues, Etc. Journal. Also, our Wittenberg Trail feature has Pastor Eric Rapp. You actually heard Eric Rapp a little earlier in the program. He and his wife, Polly, sing the bump music, Hey Preacher Man. And that's one of the things that they've done to contribute to the program of Issues, Etc. Also, his Wittenberg Trail feature called Good to Know. He tells about his story from, what is it, nominal Methodism, New Age, back to Methodism, and then to the Lutheran Confession. You can find out more about the latest Issues, Etc. journal, and subscribe absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the red button on the right-hand side. Click on that, enter your email address, and you are subscribed absolutely free. We will send you the online Issues, Etc. journal. Let's get back to the sermon. Pastor Bender has been telling us that we need not ever give up on the Word of God. We might give up on ourselves. In fact, it's probably a good idea to do so. But on the Word of God, we should never give up.
What does baptism give us? Mark's gospel is so real crisp because it says that John preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's what baptism gives, the remission of sins. But that's no small gift. It means baptism gives us Jesus, the one who fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. And when he came to be baptized by John in the river Jordan, it was for repentance and the remission of sins in his name. He aligned himself with our sinful condition, and he willingly took upon himself all of the corruption of the world, all of your sin and mine, and he fulfilled all righteousness by going to the cross and suffering the death that the law of God demanded because of sin. And that's why baptism has the promise of remission of sins. Because Jesus is the content of the water of baptism. And we come that our sins may be drowned and die in baptism. According to Paul's own word from Romans chapter 6, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, where all sin was put to death, and where the judgment of the law was satisfied by Jesus, the condemnation of hell, that is the gift of God to you in your baptism. And with it is the promise of the Holy Spirit. John said, I indeed have baptized you with water, but there stands one whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose, because he alone is the Redeemer from sin, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit in your baptism, according to the word of Jesus and on account of what Jesus has done. And it is the promise of the ongoing outpouring of the Spirit through the Word. Don't give up on the Word, because the Word and the Spirit of God are inseparable to continually breathe new life in us in the daily struggle against the weaknesses of the flesh and our own sinful nature. I'm reminded of the small catechism that asks the question, how can water do such great things? Some would say, it's not baptism that saves, it's Jesus. Or, it's not baptism that gives forgiveness of sins, it's Jesus. It's not baptism that gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus. But what we are called to learn from the Word of God is that Jesus is the sum and substance, the content of baptism. That's why baptism saves. Everything that he has done for you in his death and resurrection is given in baptism. And by the Word of God, you are taken back to your baptism again and again and again in the daily struggle with sin and the judgment of the law and the accusations of Satan. And so the portion of the small catechism asks the question, how can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things. Along with the faith. And what is the role of faith? To trust the Word of God in the water. And by extension, to trust the Word of God in the absolution spoken to you in confession. And to trust the Word of God in catechesis and preaching. And to trust the Word of God in the sacrament of the altar, where Jesus says to you, this is my body, my holy flesh and blood given for you, for your bodies, for the corruption of sin in your life. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's not the water indeed that does it. It's not the eating and drinking indeed that does it, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It all depends upon the Word. Don't give up on the Word, but the devil wants you to give up on the Word. Because once we lose the Word, we lose Jesus. We lose the gift and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every day for us takes us back to our baptism. That's why Luther says, when you get up in the morning, make the sign of the Holy Cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then confess the creed. Those gifts were not only given to you in your baptism, but by the strong name of God, you are declared to be the children of God. That's the reality that Satan does not want you to believe, and that your flesh and your troubled conscience will constantly doubt. But it's what St. Paul was urging upon us in the epistle from Romans chapter 6 this morning. The grace of God in Jesus is absolutely full and free. The forgiveness of sins and that salvation that we trust in for Jesus' sake is not at all on account of our own works or merits. Not at all. It is a free gift of God's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so in the verses immediately prior to Romans 6, he says, The law entered that the offense might abound, that we might see the offense of sin. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace must reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then on the basis of that, he asks the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What is the question really asking? The question drives home something that is a reality experientially for every Christian. Where true faith in the Lord Jesus is born in our hearts through the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins and the new birth of holy baptism. The faith that is created there by the Word and Spirit of God is a living trust that fears, loves, and trusts in God above all things, that desires to love the neighbor, and even to lay down one's life for the good of another. Which is why when we stumble in sin, our conscience is so plagued. And that's what Paul is getting at with his question. Because one of the solutions that the devil tempts us with is to say, look, since salvation is by grace alone, then simply indulge yourself. It doesn't matter, which is not the way of faith. It's not the way of repentance born of the Word of God. It is not the life of baptism. It is actually the life of unbelief. And it leads to the destruction of the baptismal faith born in our hearts. So what is the solution in the daily struggle with sin? Don't give up on the Word. Return to the Word. And that has a very living dynamic to it. The Catechism speaks of it again. We should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That is an ongoing dynamic in the life of the Christian, death and resurrection, which is all about confession and absolution, about praying, forgive us our trespasses, as we here in the church on a regular basis forgive the trespasses of one another. That's a churchly petition, the fifth petition. And the reason that's the one activity that is so exalted in the Lord's Prayer is because it is confession and absolution from us to God and from Christian brothers and sisters to one another, which is the heartbeat of the baptismal life. The devil does not want you to believe that from now until the day you die, there will be a struggle with sin in your life. But it's true. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Word. When John says Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and continue to baptize with the Holy Spirit, it means that your baptism with water and the Word gives you the ongoing right and privilege to receive that ministry of the Spirit every day of your lives. A ministry whereby Christ's saving Word is spoken to you, that the new man might daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's what the baptism of our Lord is all about. That He who fulfilled all righteousness for us gives us this righteousness, mercy, and forgiveness through His powerful Word to raise us from the death of sin and to teach us every day of our lives to rely upon Christ. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you and I, in our baptism, in confession and absolution, are given the glorious privilege to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That is not who I am, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who I am. That's who you are. Righteous sons and daughters of the righteous one. To say don't give up on the word is to say don't give up on Jesus. For he has given and continues to give himself to you with every grace and blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. There's a sermon preached on Sunday on the baptism of Jesus by a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. It's not rocket science. It simply is the basic message of Holy Scripture. Open the book. It testifies again and again and again to what Christ has done for us sinners. Good Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. When we come back, Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues, Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Classical Education 101. The principles of classical education are time-tested teaching methods used in select public, private, and charter schools across the country and fast becoming the preferred method for all parents. What about classical Lutheran education? What are these time-tested methods? Come to St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois on Saturday, January 31st at 9 a.m. For more information, call 618-633-2209.